Shark family, I am literally in a hotel room right now with Mr. Doug Larson in Lake Tahoe. Are we in California?
We are
in California. Like, there's like a border here. On one side, you can drink outside and walk on the streets, and on the other side, you're going to jail for that. But you can smoke weed legally. It's recreational on one side. We're hanging out with Aaron Hine this week. We interviewed him at the CrossFit Games because he owns Fit Aid, and we drank a lot of Fit Aid at the CrossFit Games and filmed a bunch of shows there. He's a super cool guy and been friends with Doug and Mike and Barbell Shrug for a very long time. And me being the new guy, I got to hang out with him, and what a cool guy. We are at the Spartan World Championships, and we are actually headed over to the Fit Aid booth right now to hang out with them again, and a lot of fun. Really enjoyed hanging out. Kenny Santucci always brings a lot of fire to the microphones. Hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure you get over to Muscle Gain Challenge. We have a free ebook. It's called How to Get Strong Now. If you don't know how to get strong right now, you should probably go download it. The Mass Gain Challenge is inside the program vault. $47 a month. 11 programs. Get over to MuscleGainChallenge.com. Download the free ebook, How to Get Strong Now. Because if you are not strong now, you need to read this thing. We'll see you guys at the break. Enjoy the show. Actually on the microphone now. Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. We're smashing Focus Aid in the back of the Fit Aid VIP experience. Doug Larson's in the house.
That's right.
Kenny Santucci, the creator of all this magic back here. Aaron Hine.
Yo, yo.
That's how it's going to be translated through the years.
That's right.
What's going on? We are on, there's what, one event left? Jen Ryan, the 38-year-old two-time games athlete, the four-time games qualifier, seven times at regionals since 2011, like inside the first 5,000 people that did CrossFit in the whole wide world. She's our only audience member today. It's a very VIP ticket we sold to get here. Mm-hmm. She paid $0 to be here but got three Fit Aids on the way out.
But that resume speaks for itself.
The resume mm-hmm. is stacked. Amazing. She can be found for nutrition coaching at, oh, that was your commercial.
Three ply.
Yeah.
Missed
man.
It.
Man. Nice what's going on? Last day of the CrossFit Games. How many years have you guys been doing this thing now?
Dude, we've been here, what, 5 years now, Kenny?
I've been here with you guys 4 years.
It's incredible that you continue to grow with Kenny as a part of the
brand. I mean, we've
been
here for like 8 years, but that was sneaking cans in our backpacks, sneaking into the CrossFit Games.
Chucking them up into the stands?
Yeah, no, literally, we were like sneaking cans under the fence and yeah. shit like that.
I was part of the mm-hmm. perfect bar throw at Guerrilla Marketing back in the day.
Yeah.
They snuck the cooler bar. In.
So good.
We were talking about this the other day, and I was saying how many multi-million dollar, $100 million companies have come out of the CrossFit space. Perfect Bar, RX Bar, Fit Aid.
Well, RX Bar is $600 million.
Really?
Dude, they
RX
sold,
Bar?
They sold 2 years ago. Peter owned 50% of that business. They never took on VCs or private equity.
Jesus.
$300 million in your pocket. At the time, I believe the exit was worth more than CrossFit as an entity was worth.
Wow.
Which was tripping me out. I'm like, I called Lo Franco at Morning Chalk Up. I'm like, dude, how are you not writing about this? Like, this is big news. Like a brand coming from this community
wow.
sells to mainstream for $600 million.
It's well, funny because they're damn. Everywhere now. Like well, you look in CVS, yeah. you look in
everywhere.
You know, everywhere. Like grocery stores.
It's a good brand. It's a no-brainer. Like the marketing's perfect. Yeah. Peter's a good dude, so couldn't yeah. happen to a better guy or company.
Well, what Epic Bar just sold to General Mills?
Yeah, that was a huge one too.
That's the way
yeah.
to do it.
Yeah.
If you can sell upstream like that.
Well, not for us, you know, not for us.
What is the plan?
Coke and Pepsi is the enemy.
What's the plan? Give us the ideal
five-year
plan.
What would you guys do if you had, you know, a great fanatical community that was very engaged, you know, a lot of people on social influence, like what would be the most obvious obvious exit in that scenario? I think personally IPO. Like, who wouldn't want to own a piece? We get emails every week like, hey, I don't know if you guys are fundraising or not, but I'm a big fan of the brand. I got some extra money lying around. I'd love to invest. Oh, sorry. Yeah, we don't have any rounds open. But if we were to IPO and go out to our community and be like, hey, own a piece of what's going on here. Like, I think that's
a great
ideal.
Yeah.
That's a cool idea. Yeah.
Put a bunch of B stock out. Everybody has a piece of it.
I mean, right now, everybody at our company owns a piece of the pie. And the warehouse guys own shares. Like,
that's awesome.
Everybody. Everybody you talk to. Alignment is the most important thing for us. I mean, Kenny knows. We talk about it a lot.
That's one key differentiating factor, I feel like, for Fitted over many other companies that I've known or been involved with or heard of in the past. Like, you guys seem to have an extremely strong community or strong culture for your company compared to almost anyone I've ever met.
Sometimes too strong. I hear about
it. Yeah, pros and cons, everything, I suppose.
Nobody wants to leave.
Yeah.
No, I was able to show up here on Friday, right? I mean, now it's Sunday. Get to hug some babies, take some pictures. I mean, the team executed this whole thing. It wasn't me. It wasn't Orion. Yeah. You know, it was them taking extreme ownership. You know, everyone having very clear expectations on what needs to get done. And, you know, I think bottom line is, you know, you got to treat people right. And that includes your customers, but also includes your employees. It's like some companies are like, oh, we're so customer-centric, and they're treating their own people like shit. And it's like, well, your people are an extension of your brand. Yeah. That is your brand. Our brand's not these cans. Our brand is every interaction that people have with everybody on our team.
I love how when we started working with Lorelei, too, like, yo, she is out there to grow Fit Aid and make it the shit.
Yeah.
Like, she is grinding. She is working very hard. And it's kind of the buy-in that you get from people is really awesome.
If Fit Aid was an army, Lorelei would be like the general in the front of the lines with full armor on, chopping people down.
And she is definitely
with a hairy stomach fanny pack.
Yeah.
I'm staying away from her. Yeah.
It's amazing how real that thing looks.
Right?
Like, from afar, you're like, oh, my God, that's disgusting. Oh, my gosh, that's Lorelei. Lorelei, what happened to you? Oh, it's fake.
Just growing it out.
But all the partnerships with all the brands, actually, how does all that kind of come in getting this guy a part of what you guys are doing? It's been a long-term thing you guys have had now.
Yeah. It's been four years.
Yeah, 4 years. 5 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, look, we had some key people early on. You know, Jackie's always with us, Christmas Abbott, Kenny, that we just clicked with and aligned with us and aligned with the brand, and we've been friends ever since. I mean,
yeah.
Who you meet up are the same people as who you meet on the way down, right? So treat people well, and these guys were much bigger stars and celebrities than we were we weren't even a brand yet, and they, you know, they helped us out, and I was key to our traction. Yeah.
Where does all the stuff kind of go? If there's a middle ground between now and whatever IPO, if that ever actually like happens, but where's the focus at right now?
You know, as you're continuing to grow both your team and your brand and more points of distribution, you know, it's always like that quality control, not from a product perspective, but from a relationship perspective. And so, you know, making sure that we're still able to connect with everybody on the team, that, you know, that there's still openness and transparency and people feel like they can, you know, speak up at any time about anything. And, you know, that we're not neglecting, like, why am I still here at the CrossFit Games? Because we have a lot of friends here and we've created a lot of alliances. And those, you know, this is our time to nurture those and hang out with those people. And they're our friends. So. I think those are the biggest challenges is maintaining that intimacy.
I think there's so many people you talk to and you listen to a lot of podcasts or shows about people who talk about, you know, kind of treating people right and doing the right thing and never forgetting where you came from. I think that's a huge part of, like, what a lot of people say. And I've been around a lot of companies. I worked with a lot of brands and, you know, major companies. And these guys say it and do it.
Yeah.
They live it. And there are very few people that you can rely on, and people always talk about karma, but it's, I guess you could define it as karma, but as you go through life and you burn bridges behind you, that's eventually going to affect your journey ahead.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas, like, these guys, I mean, I've been with them for 4 or 5 years. I haven't met anybody who's not like, yeah, I love those guys.
Yeah.
You know, they've always, you know, treated me better than I could have ever imagined, and everybody else around them. So I think that's a key part of their success.
It's really cool when you're with people that are always trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
There's never a bad time to do the right thing, even if it's really hard to do it.
Well, even when people want to see you fail,
yeah,
right? There, I mean, I'm sure you could speak to this more than I could. It's like, I'm sure there are people who shit on the brand and don't like it. But there's so many other people supporting it, backing it, and, you know, want to see the best for them because they want to see the best for everybody else. So there, you're always going to have those points where you stumble a little bit and people don't want to see you do well. You could do 100 great things and there is always going to be somebody who wants to see you fail. But you can't look at it as an issue. You just got to jump over it, go around it, go underneath it, whatever it is, and then keep moving forward. Yeah.
Those kind of people don't last long, though. You know,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
just you know, it used to be like, okay, I kind of get this. This is the way it works. Like, okay, yeah, I treat people well. It kind of comes back around. But now there's, like, actual studies, you know. Like, negativity will crush you, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, scarcity mode actually translates into actually being scarce in resources and finances in your pocket. And, like, you can't do that. It's just – it's not good business, right? So, you know, treat people well and come from an abundance mindset at all times. Like, people are like, oh, hey, what's up? Can I ask you about this? Or can I take your picture with you, Kenny? Like, you always say yes. Jackie always says yes. They're not one of these type of people that are like, oh, no, my time's too valuable, or I don't have time for you, or I'm too above you, that type of thing.
Was this your first business?
No, I've had several before this. Cool. Yeah, several that weren't too
– I had just nail it out of the park on day one.
No. I had an eye drop company called Irie Eyes Eye Drops where I sold
Irie Eyes
eye drops to stoners. So that was an interesting one. I had that for a couple of years.
I know a lot of high school kids that could have used that.
I learned a major lesson in accurate thinking because stoners don't give a shit that their eyes are bad.
Actually, that's not true. You need to go. I could have put you in the market that was ready for that. My prep school, man. You go out and get high, and you have to check in for study hall that night. They'd be like, are my eyes red?
Yeah,
you'd be checked in,
right,
and you were all blazed to be like, you're going home for a week. Like, no, I just hate study hall.
Kenny, how did you guys connect?
I had met Jackie at the games, one of the first games I went to. This has got to be like 6 years ago. And I had just opened up a gym in Jersey. Me and Jackie were talking, and we kind of kept in touch on Instagram or Facebook. I don't even know what the hell it was at the time. And when I opened my gym, she's like, you should really connect with FitAid. At the time, I mean, I don't know if we're allowed to say it on this show, but there was another company that was really pushing some cans, you know, kind of got into the space a little bit sooner.
Pushing some cans.
And we had them in my gym. I actually called them and asked them for some support for an event I was doing. I was like, hey, we could use some cases, blah, blah, blah. Unwilling to help. I call a Baron, and he's like, yeah. Next day, I had like seven cases at the gym. And I was just doing like a kind of a charity event at my space and stuff. And I'm like, for me, a guy like that, I appreciate anybody who doesn't need to help me. And you help me more than I expect you to. I'm almost indebted to you at that point.
Yeah.
You know, so we had met up at regionals that year, and we started chatting, and he was asking me about like what else I did. You know, he was more concerned about me than, you know, I could, even in interviews that I've done before. And we started chatting. I was like, you know, I was like, I always thought about having like a morning show, or like, I loved late night talk shows. So I'm like, I'd love to do something like that. He's like, well, let's do it. And I was like, are you for real? And it started as like this bullshit idea while we were drinking one night. I'd say 3-4 months later, we're at the games, and he's like, yeah, we're doing this. And it was just kind of a stupid little project for me and him where we'd just pull people on and we'd start interviewing them and do things. But it never felt like work because it was just like kind of a passion project for the two of us.
I haven't had TV for 15 years so I literally had no idea who Kenny Santucci was. Zero. And, you know, I was like, I know Jackie, and Jackie says this guy's cool, so whatever. So he emails me, and we're setting up a call, and my assistant, Chelsea, is like a Kenny Santucci. Like, I think she has a tattoo of Kenny, right, from his MTV days. And she goes, oh, my God, Aaron,
is that Kenny Santucci from MTV?
I'm like, yeah, I think so. Oh my God. And she starts freaking out. Like, I think she started crying. I'm like, oh my God, who the hell is this guy? It was so funny.
It was fun. At the time, though, I mean, this is 6 years ago. I only had been off television like 2 years or something. But I remember there was a point on Instagram and on Twitter that I had more of a following than CrossFit, Rich Froning, and everyone else put together, where it's like I was a bigger deal than everybody else. And then, I mean, this blows up, and Now I'm the most irrelevant person. And, like, the sport blew up. But at one point, I have a bigger following than the rest of these guys. And I was one of those people who'd say, oh, I do CrossFit. And everybody's like, what the fuck is CrossFit?
It's interesting to think your most athletic stories are from the challenge.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Is that a sport now?
I mean, at the time, I was one of the very few people who, like, worked out to do it. Yeah. Because I was like, oh, my God, this will help me become better on the shows.
Way to really niche your athletes down to the real world.
Regional athletes and then picked up all these hotshot games athletes, and then I just kind of fell to the background.
Are they easy to work with,
most of them? Yeah, great people.
Yeah.
I mean, we only work with athletes that are good people.
Yeah,
so
seems to be the
theme. We kind of know who is not so fun to work with. Yeah, but they're amazing. I mean, you look at our roster, and you know, every year it's like, oh, you know, here we go again. We got podiums, we got masters athletes, teen athletes. Like, everybody's continuing to crush the game.
I think
who are you guys primarily working with right now?
Probably our top highest kind of ranked female was Sarah, but you know, unfortunately she.
Oh wait,
got
you
injured.
Guys did the series with her.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, that was so good.
Yeah, no, it did
so
great.
Good.
It's like
I love those.
We probably got like 5 million, maybe 6 million cumulative views now. So
they were so good. I watched all of them.
Yeah, they did a great job with that. Flew out to Iceland, I think 3 or 4 times.
And perfect, like perfect length. A lot of just her. I think because of that, when I think about all of the athletes, she's the only one I'd actually like to hang out with.
Right. And she's
like the rest
totally
of them seem miserable. She looks like she's having a genuinely awesome time.
She's a sincere, delightful, you know, young lady. And the fans respond to her. I mean, regardless of whatever happens here for her, like, she is always going to be the fans' favorite.
Yeah.
You know, you listen to it. If you go to regionals, so when, you know, were announcing her name at regionals this year, which is a more closed format, you know, in the stadium, the cheers for her are louder than anybody out there. And you've got two former champions, you know, on the floor when she's competing against it. She's getting a lot of
She has light. Yeah, I loved interviewing her. We had her at Wadapalooza a couple of years ago, and we were just chatting with her. She's just so genuine, so easygoing. You know, she doesn't take herself – I mean, obviously she takes her being an athlete serious, but she doesn't take herself as seriously as some of the other people I feel like do. And it makes her more likable. It makes her more human.
I think she, like, actually realizes how goofy it is that she, like, exercises for a living. Yeah. Like, it's weird. But she has a blast. And then they put another series together with her. I don't know who did it. Maybe it was, like, her coaches. But they showed, like, the training sessions leading up to the gym. And you're like, oh, she's also totally gangster and dead serious when it comes to getting after it in the gym.
And it's crazy that she trains, you know, by herself for the most part.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, like, how do you, if you're at that level, I don't know, I've obviously never even been close to that level, but just training with somebody, like training with Orion, I go, okay, hopefully I kick his ass today, right? Yeah. Like, I know where I'm at relative to him, and I know where I'm at relative to some other people.
That's not a good barometer.
But how do you know where you're at relative to?
Am I fit? Well, I beat him. Well, am I fit?
Fitter.
Yeah. I'm not in last place.
Yeah, exactly. That's my only goal in CrossFit is do not finish last.
But I love those shows. Anytime you get to see, like, the actual personality of the people come through, it helps a lot. It was a really good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I was telling people. One of the things I feel like that's missing in CrossFit and kind of missing in some other sports is you don't get the human aspect of it. You don't get to see that side of him. And I love watching. I'm not much of a sports guy. I don't watch, like, a lot of football and baseball and stuff. But I like watching the documentaries on their lives and, like, kind of understanding who they are.
Yeah.
And then that's how you start rooting for them. You know, you start to relate yourself to them. Whether – I mean, I can't relate myself much to – a 26-year-old Icelandic girl, but you start to all those human aspects of her, you're like, oh, wow, I know what that feels like, and I know what this feels like, and I can imagine what that feels like. So you start to cheer for her, and she's one of those people that I'd like to see win just because I have that emotional attachment.
Seems like she's like the Steph Curry of CrossFit.
Yeah.
You know, she's so likable. She's so nice, just like Steph. Like, you see Steph, and he's fan favorite regardless of where he goes. Because the guy is a genuinely nice guy.
Do you get over to Iceland to hang out with her?
I've been over there once. Yeah. Yeah. Quite an experience. Yeah.
We got to go.
It's on the list, man. We hung out with the guy that runs cross at Reykjavik just the other day.
How was that?
Oh, he's a savage.
Really?
The happiest guy in the world.
He's so proud. He's so happy that he's like made an impact on Iceland.
There's, I mean, he's made an impact on the world.
There's
300 people on the whole island, and 30 of them are in the CrossFit Games, so like 10% of the whole Icelandic population is savage.
1,600 people at his gym.
How many other gyms are there?
There's three or four.
Did you watch the Redeem to Dominate documentary?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the second most visited spot by taxi cab drivers in the whole country.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No, but I'm saying, like, are there a lot of gyms there?
Well,
I think there's four.
It's got to be. I mean, who knows? He might have a piece of all of them.
I mean, if I ever went there, that'd be one of the spots I'd go see.
It was just so funny how happy he was. He, like, they were taking a picture, and it was like, smile and say something, and he was like, ah! It was like, you're a real Viking. Oh, my God.
Ah! Like, all the wheat died. That is no joke of an environment. And if you were weak,
it's a very
thanks
Spartan
for playing.
Society there. Yeah.
Well, they're all gorgeous. It's like this weird, weird thing. They're all perfectly blonde, like, I remember the first time Annie came into my gym when she was in San Diego to train, and I just remember looking at her and be like, you're, like, perfect.
Yeah.
How do you look like that? Well, like, I don't want to look like a creep right now, but it's like I'm, like, studying Olympic lifting, but, like, her face.
Their faces are all, like, flawless.
Yeah.
You're, like, they don't
perfect
all
look blonde hair. Yeah, so at the gym we were at, like, they were all in there, and they all looked like her, and it looked – someone even made the joke that it looked like Mighty Ducks 2 when, like, the Icelandic national team came over, and he was like, like, oh, my God, how did this happen?
You know there's an app in Iceland where our taxi guy was telling us that? All the young people are on it, and it literally tells you if you're related to somebody when you're talking to them at the bar. It's so small. They're like, it happens way more than you think. That's like your second cousin. You have no idea. So there's an app not related.
Way.
Okay,
gross.
We're good.
That'd be weird.
That'd be weird.
Dude, what's happening tonight? We got a big party to go to.
Dude,
it's my first fitting party ever.
Hey. Tell you what, this guy is really good at building a community. He's great at building a brand. But the best thing he's but his finest quality is throwing parties.
I love it.
Sure.
It's definitely not my first rodeo.
Where are we going to be? What are we doing?
We're going to be at Club Liquid tonight in downtown Madison.
That sounds like...
We got
like
a few treats for y'all. Let's just say there'll be some talent there.
Do you throw the party? Like, of all of the things that are going on this weekend, are you party planner?
That's part of the team. I sit in and be like, okay, you know, this is what the
direction.
What
I'd like to see.
Yeah, no, it's like, okay, more midgets, you know, like those kind of
things.
We
need axes and midgets.
Yeah.
Donuts.
Yeah. I'm into that.
Those donuts last year were awesome.
They were tasty.
Are we bringing those back?
You got to talk to Jason. I have no fucking clue. He's like, how much do you are involved in the party? Oh, yeah. No, I don't do shit.
What's fuck. We're going to take a break. Just drew a blank. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. I'm going to get some Fit Aid. We're on camera. No, we're not. Why isn't the camera on?
I think that's on.
I think the one is.
Just the one in the middle. Yeah. Cool. Take a break. Nope. Come back.
All right.
Hope you guys are enjoying the show. Make sure you get over to shruggedstrengthtest.com. If you do not know how to get strong right now, you're supposed to go to Muscle Gain Challenge. If you think you're strong, well, we have a test to find out if that's true or not. Go to shruggedstrengthtest.com. We've got a whole bunch of tests. You're going to be testing a lot of unilateral movements, bilateral movements, squats, presses, just to find out where you're at, find your imbalances in your current training, and learn what you need to do to prioritize your training to get stronger. This test is over at shruggedstrengthtest.com. I've taken it. It told me, Anders, you're strong AF. If you don't get that response back, well, you're not as strong as I am, and you should get into the program vault. $47 a month, 11 programs. Mass gain, Olympic lifting, squat programs, mobility, nutrition, meal prep, all kinds of things. 11 programs, $47 a month. Get over to thestrugstrengthtest.com. Find out how strong you are. Hopefully, the result comes back and says, you're strong AF. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to Barbell Shrugged. Aaron Hine, Fit Aid, VIP. No focus aid on the table, though.
We're focused.
Crush work.
I'm focused, yeah, man.
You only need one can. Yeah. It's a sales pitch.
Well, we just had two cans here. We sent them away.
I know, no, but you drank one and I drank one. So after you drink one, you're
good.
Laser focused.
We'd like you to follow it up with a party aid, but it's not needed.
Unnecessary.
It's the second year we've been in Madison. Are you guys a part of all the games from throwing cans up into the stands to the corner lot in Madison?
Yeah.
It's like big 7 years.
Yeah, no, we're in with the big boys.
It is the corner lot, and it's the most club feeling. I'm glad. I'm stoked we're a part of this one.
Yeah.
The rest of them are wicked boring.
Well, how did you guys end up being one of the primary sponsors? Like, there's probably many companies that would love to be partnered with CrossFit on the level that you guys are. Like, well, what does that relationship look like over the years?
Well, we started out from Renegade to an actual paid vendor. And then I think when Casey kind of dropped out of the scene, that opened up an opportunity for us to step up. And, you know, we had a developing relationship with CrossFit. And they brought on a guy, Mason, from the Oakland A's. Mm. And he's just been great. Like, I think he kind of saw the big picture. They asked us to throw the after party for the Open, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. And literally Dave Castro called me, and he's like, hey, do you guys want to throw the Open after party? And this was 4 days before the Open was going to end. I'm like, yeah, we'll do it. 4 days we got to get this party. Mm-hmm. And we blew it out. Like, we threw it in Santa Cruz. We had stilts walkers walking around with LED lights on and chicks dancing off the ceiling with silks and crazy shit, right? Live DJs. Everyone's getting boozed up. So it was a good party. And they're like, oh, these guys know how to do it. And so I think when the opportunity to step up and create something that was kind of true to our culture, you know, we throw the official after parties now. And,
yeah,
you know, that kind of thing, like the more fun activation type stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you like Madison a little bit better than L.A.? Better, same, worse?
You can't call Carson L.A.,
yeah,
right?
I mean, I agree.
I mean, there's parts of L.A. that are phenomenal, yeah, like, you know, and there's total shitholes. Carson happens to be a total shithole.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
and then
it's like, oh, yeah, let's get together tonight. Oh, we're 2 hours away, even though we're a mile away from each other because of the fucking traffic. So yeah.
Sucks.
This town, you know, it's got a college vibe. Yeah, it's not Southern California, but I was actually very impressed last year when I came here. I'm like, this town's cooler than I thought it would be.
Southern California.
I actually really like that the town loves that we're here. It's like last year especially, like I saw signs like on restaurants and you know, coffee shops and whatever that were like, welcome CrossFit athletes. Like, everybody's fucking pumped that we're here. And so CrossFit's like got this community thing that's so strong. And then I feel like that has almost like crossed over into the town of Madison. I feel like they think they're a part of the CrossFit community just because, like, we came, because who else is coming to Madison? Right. That's like a big deal every single year. Like, they're fucking pumped that we're here. And we're probably, you know, putting a lot into the economy. They appreciate that. Yeah. Like, they're all about it.
I compare it to, everybody's like, oh, is Madison as good as Carson? I'm like, well, Carson really wasn't anything. You're basically on a highway somewhere in California.
Yeah.
So there's nothing really around. Here you're in the center of their town, you know, and it feels a little like a state fair.
Yeah.
Being here.
You're not afraid to camp out. If you camped out in Carson, you're getting fucking shot.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it to the day three of the games.
You're in a real shit area. But here it's
there's
like.
There's mosquitoes here. There's gangsters there.
And the mosquitoes here are just as big as a gangster.
They're nasty.
I'm feeling them.
I think most CrossFitters are just, you know, good people at their core. Like, you don't hear about theft happening and stuff at this event, you know, hardly at all. So that translates, like, the Uber drivers and the shopkeepers and, you know, everyone's like respectful and courteous, and they're like, wow, these guys are like solid individuals, and there's thousands of them, so.
And they're happy we're here. It's not like we're a biker gang rolling through. It's not Sturgis rallies.
Was your intent with Fit8 to actually just be right in the CrossFit space from the beginning, or did you kind of find it post, like, production of drinks and marketing?
Yeah, no. Orion and I met in a CrossFit gym, North Santa Cruz in Scotts Valley, one of the OG CrossFit gyms back in the day. That's where CrossFit HQ used to train prior to them building out their own gym at HQ. Mm. So, you know, I was a sports chiropractor at the time, so I was working on a lot of people from HQ, some of the athletes coming into town. And so then finally, you know, I was Globo Gym my whole life. They're like, all the coaches coming in, like, you got to try CrossFit, you got to try CrossFit. And I had patients doing it. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. Like that first workout, I remember there's like two kind of half chubby guys next to me, and I'm in my 30s or late 20s, I think. I'm like in pretty good shape. I'm like, I'm going to smoke these two guys, right? Round one, no problem, right there with them. Round two, I'm in the bushes as I'm getting lapped and lapped and lapped and lapped, and everyone's snickering. And then I finally finished literally dead last, and everyone's like cheering for me.
That cheering.
And I'm like, all right, I've been completely humiliated, but this is kind of cool.
I think the cheering in CrossFit
does
one of two things for you, especially when you first start out, because I've seen it with a lot of great athletes. I've seen it with, you know, some newer people who, if you're a guy, like, I'm sure, like similar to us, and you're the last guy getting cheered for, you're like, this will never fucking happen again. You're like, this is the most embarrassing moment of my life.
I had it happen at regionals one year, and there was nine other people standing around me when I couldn't do a handstand push-up, and I just wanted to be like, fuck all of you.
Yeah.
I hate you all. I look like a fat piece of shit out here right now. There's 4,000 people in the stands watching me. Not my kip looks like my legs aren't attached to my freaking body at all. And you're come on, five more. Five more might as well be a million. It is not happening. Go away. Yeah. I want to hide from all of you.
It's either that or like you were the person who's never competed in sport and never been athletic. And you're like, oh, my God, everybody gives a shit. Everybody wants to see me do well.
Yeah.
So you could take it one of two ways, but it definitely has the same effect. It's like, I need to try harder.
That was one of my favorite things that Froning used to do when he would go smash people. And he'd be up by like 300 points or whatever the hell it was. And he'd always go back and be like, come on.
Keep trying.
On, Fraser. Let's go, buddy. You're doing great. Way to exercise. Yeah. What's some of the growth of CrossFit, though? It's been really crazy. What's when you guys work with a bunch of athletes. As you've seen, what's kind of the – clearly they're much bigger, they're much stronger, but – like the dedication, all the pieces that go into it. You snicker.
It's a full-time job now. I mean, obviously it has been for a while, but that transition probably started happening, you know, 3 years ago, definitely last year. Like, I don't think anyone out there is not doing it full-time now.
Yeah, you have to. And you guys kind of support them in this process, right?
Absolutely. Got it.
Well, there were a couple times, I feel like even two, three years ago that people were like, well, or like Kalipa or even Fraser was like, yeah, I work out like once a day. That's my regimen. And Froning's like, that. I don't do that. I do like 5-6 workouts a day. And now even Fraser's on that. Like, no, I work out 5-6 times a day. So I think it's become not so casual.
Yeah.
You know, especially amongst the bigger
athletes.
We talk
about working out. We're like, we're just dipping our toe. You want to go into it?
Yeah.
You want to talk about steroids?
Yeah.
It's like the topic of my life this weekend, I feel like.
Well, this is the first year that I think the most athletes got popped. I mean, typically in years past, it's been one athlete nobody's really ever heard of, you know, from, like, the middle of the pack with no social media following. And, like, you know, it's been one person. Now, this year, how many people got popped, Kenny? It was quite
15,
a few.
I think.
15?
There's a list of, like, 10, 15 people on their actual games page.
Yeah. So
there's
something's 13 obviously.
When Emily got popped, and I think it was two or three more after her.
What percentage of that do you think is like differences in testing protocol versus more and more people are actually doing something they shouldn't?
I think it's one of the protocol.
I think it's both.
Oh, yeah?
I think more people. So one of the things.
The prize
I heard
money's bigger, so the incentive's there, right?
For sure.
Buck did just sign on for a bigger prize. This month, everybody makes something this year. This is the first year everyone makes money.
Like Fraser's making well over a million. I think he's making a couple million bucks a year when you factor in the sponsorships, the 300K or whatever it is here. And you know, so it's becoming a grown-up sport.
Yeah,
you know? Like we're money on the table now.
Well, what people don't realize is I think it's like the first 15 or 16 people get some sort of cash.
I think everybody
it's not
now
big money, but like as it goes down the line, it gets less and less. But I think the top 6 he'll get a
it
nice
It ends
jack.
With a date with Kenny Santucci.
I'd love that. All that would be amazing. The guy prize. Or girl.
What would you open that dinner with the top CrossFit athlete? Be like, so
one of the ladies?
Men snack? Or women.
Yeah, I mean, one of the guys, I'd be like, just don't hurt me.
Be gentle.
Yeah, one of the ladies be like, so is this hurt what me. You always dreamed about, huh?
Are your traps is this always what you always pumped up like that?
Listen, you know what? They're savages. One of the things that I like to always talk about, definitely in conversation when people talk about CrossFit, is the idea that, like, all the girls look like freaks and that their shoulders are too big and that their legs are too big. If your shoulders and your legs aren't big, I'm not that interested.
Yeah.
You know, I like – it shows me a lot about your personality.
I love CrossFit and the way that they market females.
Yes, like, I love that.
All good-looking people.
I want
they're
to fit but not perfectly fit. Because if you're perfectly fit, it means you don't party at all. We're not going to get along
too
well.
You just want, like, a little love handle on the side?
Yes. look at JP, right? Yeah, very fit.
Yep.
But she's not perfectly – she's not freakishly fit.
Yeah.
And we know why.
Because she likes to party.
Exactly.
But that's what it is. It's you need to show a balance. And, like, that's how I got the Michelob deal. Everybody's always like, oh, what do you do with Michelob? I'm like, well, they were telling me they were following me for a year. And they were saying how they're like, well, it looks like you like to drink just as much as you like to work out. So am I painting this picture of myself as a degenerate? Because I'm okay with
that.
That's what it was.
But I think the girls are significantly more fun in the sport, too. Like, the guys are just machines. And if you didn't know, like, I took 2 or 3 years off of really giving a shit about the competition. So you see, like, Matt Frazier, but all the new guys that have come up, they all look the exact same. There's no characters. On the girls' side, there's characters, there's personalities, people you actually want to follow and be engaged with. And CrossFit does an awesome job, like, marketing. It's probably the only sport where the female prize money is the same as the males.
I tell people all the time, it's the only sport where I'd rather watch women do it than guys do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, because you're expecting the guys to hit big numbers and do impressive stuff. But when you see the girls do it, you're like, oh, my God.
When you see the girls lifting more weight than I can.
Yeah. You're like, this chick will kick my
ass. I did the Open 2 years ago as a female and quit after 3 workouts because I was getting my ass handed to me. Like, I was not going. I wanted to know, like, could I just make regionals? Like, just am I – even, like, old standards, could I be in the top 60? No. You're, like, 500.
What's your confession, Kenny?
That I suck at CrossFit? I continue to do it, but I'm not good
at it.
Should
we talk about how we tied yesterday?
Oh. Wait, you guys actually worked out?
Dude, we did a three-minute
workout.
I'm giddy about this.
You were over at the 5-1-1 booth doing the two-rounder?
We did.
We did this workout, and it was, what, 6 pull-ups, 9 push-ups, and then 12 air squats.
With the 5-11.
With the 5-11 vest on.
Mm. And then the pull-up bar is a hanging pull-up bar.
The pull-up bar, like, sways because it's only on these 2 straps. And there was a point, I'd say about 2 minutes in, where the guy's like, he's ahead of you. He's ahead of you.
I was ahead.
I'm like, yeah, he's ahead of me. He's got fucking 10 years on me, this old goat. This is bullshit that he's winning.
He's been training all year to get a PCU.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, shit, he's going to actually beat me in this thing.
I fucked up. What I did is it was 9 push-ups.
Yeah.
And Kenny's guy's repping him so loud. Like, I started doing push-ups. My chick, the lady's repping me, is quiet. And I end up doing 12 push-ups. She's tapping me like, you're doing too many. And I get up. I'm like, oh, shit. And then we go back in the pull-ups, then he's the one ahead of me, and I'm trying to catch up. But we ended up tying.
It's so strange when you come to a CrossFit event like this. Like, the audience is grinding out workouts. Like, they're not just like, oh, like, check out this new jump rope. It's like, 1,000 per time now.
Yeah.
Like, the pull-up bar.
You can win a jump rope.
You get a free perfect bar.
Every single thing. You got people, we go into the Rogue booth over here, and they've got, like, the full gym set up. You got people carrying a freaking yoke around yesterday, like, working very hard. Yeah. I'm like, aren't you on vacation? Like,
I would say there's no more fit audience than the CrossFit audience. Like, you go to, like, a football game, and 85% of the people in the stands are fat slobs.
Yeah. Someone needs to monetize
the audience. And never played football on top of that.
And they have something to say about everybody from the other team.
Yeah.
That's why I tell you what, I tell people this story all the time. About 6-7 years ago, I was with my brother. He's got Jets tickets. And it was a Jets Patriots game. And the 11 people sitting around me, my brother and his buddy included, who are all fat slobs, They're all screaming and chanting about what a pussy Tom Brady is. I go, do you realize he's better than you at everything? Picking up chicks, making money, throwing a football, playing chess, yeah. Whatever it is, he's going to beat you at it. It's like he's a freak athlete.
Yeah.
And it was just disturbing to me because you don't see that here. Nobody's like, Frazier's a pussy.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be better? Yeah, Wouldn't that add so much more to the sport, yes. though, if we had somebody just get pissed off?
Well, Neil Maddox, he takes a little smack once in a while.
Well, he's just the most shredded there is now.
They say it's not bragging.
Most shredded
so
old
big.
Man.
He looks like a black Terminator.
We need teams, and we need, like, I want the Invictus crowd on the left. I want CrossFit New England on the right, and I don't want them to like each other at all. I want, like, the hooligans fighting in the middle. Someone to streak the football
that's
field.
That's what CrossFit does. It doesn't have any bad guys or good
guys. And they tell the story that way too. Like, there's no villains in any of the documentaries. It's always like they just walk you through the events and you're like, no, well, tell the story. I want somebody to be a dick.
Well,
I
there is Mike Bledsoe. He's kind of villainish in the CrossFit community.
He got stuck in Encinitas, though. He can't come out.
How do you think they did with that last documentary, though? Like, kind of like showing that kid how he's like, I would never take steroids. It would embarrass my family and blah, blah. And then they out him at the end. You're like, ooh.
Yeah.
They did him dirty.
Yeah. I mean, I saw
that one. Which one was that?
Redeemed and Dominant.
Okay.
It was the 2017.
I've been in preparing for coming out here because I don't really live in the CrossFit world in the regular day-to-day. But I've been watching all the documentaries to get hyped up.
And they're so good.
I will watch a CrossFit documentary. I will watch the very first one every second counts.
I thought
you
were going to say
you
did a cycle in preparation. Like, I don't really, but, you know.
I needed to get on the athlete's level, so I just started.
To get jacked,
No, I will watch. Like that. Yeah, dude, I don't know. Has CrossFit ever really done a great job managing how the messaging comes out about something, or they've always just steamrolled people?
Yeah.
It's just what they do.
It's better now. You look at the commercial, and it's like more like I'm a CrossFitter. I lost 200 pounds. I've been running that commercial. So really trying to, I think, bridge the gap between this freakish level that we're witnessing on TV that's not even attainable for a millionth of the population to Joe Schmo at home is like, I want to just look a little bit better naked. I don't want to be a total fat piece of shit anymore. And there's no more efficient method outside of joining the Marine Corps than getting in shape than doing CrossFit. In 3 months, you could be like, holy shit, I'm a different person. And it's only been 3 months.
And you don't really hear about too many of the bad things until someone's been doing it and trying to exceed their real genetic potential. Like, stay inside your genetic potential and we'll be okay. It's when you start doing the dumb shit.
Well, I think a lot of people come in the gym, and I see it on a daily basis, who are like, I want to do that. And they see people doing muscle-ups, but you can't just jump into that, especially if you're not ready for it. If you just came off the couch, muscle-ups and snatches are the last thing I want you doing.
You don't want that, like, arm behind you muscle-up with the front of the shoulder about to pop out? You don't want that?
Doesn't look good.
It's not a good look.
And people do that, and they tend to hang on for some reason. Like, their arm's about to dislocate, and they're still hanging on to the ring, and everyone's like, let go. What are you doing? You're going to fall on your face either way. Let go sooner rather than later.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think that those documentaries are awesome, though. Yeah. They crushed that kid, though.
Yeah.
I really want to know when the interview took place. Like, when did they have one interview where it was like, let's talk about what your parents would think about you if you did steroids? And he was like, oh, they would be so mad at me. I couldn't hug my dad. I couldn't do any of these things. I would just be letting them down.
They already knew.
And then at the end, it's like, you just got busted. What happened? Like, then.
Yeah, that was a psychological mind fuck for that guy, for sure.
But, dude, what's he doing right now? I hope he's juiced to the gills right now. He's like 23.
He's gonna
they gave him a 4-year ban. He's going to show up when he's 28 and massacre.
But what they're doing, what I think isn't, I don't want to say isn't right, but like they're like, well, he performed so well because he was on steroids. I'm like, no, you know what an athlete he has to be to get as far as he did, to do as well as he did? So it's not like he's the only one who took the Arnold Schwarzenegger of steroids, and now he's this freak athlete. So he was really good. He's probably doing something that helped him along
a little
bit
further.
He wasn't
really good. He came to the OC Throwdown and was an intermediate athlete, and he didn't podium four years ago.
Four years ago. But 5 years ago. I mean, an athlete could develop in 4 years.
That one's a big one.
What?
Go from intermediate, non-podium in a local competition to games.
So you think steroids helped him that much that he became that freakish of an athlete?
His brother, Benny Gerard, was a total freak, and who was also his coach. But, yeah, we were at the OC Throwdown, and he was in the intermediate division and was like 170, 175, and looked very, very different last year on the podium.
As soon as I saw him on TV, I asked these guys, I was like, that guy 100% is juicing. I don't think it was just juice. I think he was taking some growth hormone, too, because it looked like he started getting acromegaly. You know, his face structure, like when guys have been hitting it too hard for too long, you start to get a little bit of restructuring of the facial bones.
Is the teeth thing a real thing? Like when you get on the HGH and you're...
Well, your jaw gets bigger, so yeah. It starts to separate your
It's kind of like a track and field when all the braces showed up. Like Carl Lewis had braces at 28 years old.
Yeah,
like there was a couple years ago when a lot of CrossFit athletes like randomly showed up with braces, and you were like, I don't know. Looks like track and field right now. That's the least clean sport there is. Is that real? Do you know?
That's the new testing method. If you have braces, you're getting tested.
I feel like that very well could be a possibility. I think it's intuitive enough, like you were saying about all the bony prominences on your face tend to reshape and restructure. And if there's like a little bit of movement with the bones in your face, then your teeth could get a little bit out of alignment. Yeah. You might want to fix that with braces. 100%.
Yeah. I remember watching like track and field back in the day. I'm like, why does Ben Johnson have braces? Why does Carl Lewis have braces?
30 years old.
Yeah. And then they all were doing things. Rich Froning had braces. You did not hear that here.
Did he really?
Yeah. All of them did. It was great.
No comment.
Yeah. They all showed up.
I didn't know that. I don't follow him that closely.
I could just start naming them because I actually like just look. I was like, why do they all have braces all of a sudden? It was like 3 years ago that all
Who else has
up.
Braces?
The girl from who finished second last year?
I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever. We don't need to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting topic, and it's a good telltale sign for sure.
Yeah. Oh, you're guilty.
Yeah, you did.
Like, buddy, no, I just won something. I got enough money to actually put braces on.
I never had braces my whole life. That's why I have
perfect
teeth.
Smile. Yeah. I had great teeth. Man,
that's why you never made it to regionals.
I know.
No
braces. I was too busy getting laid, and I wasn't doing any of the workouts. Story of my life.
Should we get into that? When did that start? When did you realize you had a real talent?
I still don't have a real talent. I don't consider it a talent.
No. So I'm going to tell Kenny's
What's
story.
What's a better profit center for you, the CrossFit Games or reality TV?
After the CrossFit Games.
When Kenny first auditioned for MTV, it was actually this other chick that was auditioning. And she's like, oh, come with me to audition. And he's like, he's just trying to get laid. So he's like, all right, I'll go with you, right? And so they're asking him questions, and the other girl's all prepped, and she ran through all these scenarios, rehearsed. Kenny's sitting there, like, doesn't give a fuck, because he's like, I don't give a shit about this show. I'm just trying to get laid. And he's telling them that. They're like, why are you here? He's like, well, I'm just trying to get laid by that girl. I don't give a shit about the show. So they're like, perfect. They cast him, put him on the show. They put him on the show. And then, you know, everybody there's the shtick. Like, you got, you know, you got an African-American. You got, you know, one, like – lesbian girl, and you know they got to have the whole diversity. Yeah. And then everyone's looking at him like, "What the fuck is your deal?"
What
he's
do you
like,
do?
Well, I'm Mr. Beautiful. he thought of it on the spot, and it stuck. That became.
It was one of the stupidest things that I still. People are like, "Does it ever get old?"
That was
like,
MTV.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm like, no. I'm like, they were like, "Well, where'd Mr. Beautiful come from?" I was like, "I was a huge wrestling fan, so Mr. Wonderful and Mr. Perfect were taking us. Like, next generation, you know." So
nice. You like wrestling?
Oh, that's I love good. That shit.
Still watch it?
Yeah. Not as much. I mean, I'll catch up with some of the bigger kind of bigger events. But I watch a lot of the old shit. Like, I have the network, so I watch a lot of, like, the older
You
matches.
Learn a lot if you just watch those guys and you don't like, realize it's, like, those are grown-ass men going out. And, like, have you ever sat, like, really close to the ring?
Yeah.
And seen how it's grown men dancing in their underwear together. And then it's like,
the shit
it's like, it's almost like if you were drunk in your living room and you were like, go do something weird. And all of a sudden you just stood up and you're like, double bicep flex. You're like, but they're a professional at it.
Yeah. I compare it to like a Broadway play. Like people are always like, oh, I love going to see Broadway plays. I go, it's the same shit. It's just for Neanderthals. It's just for really meatheads who want to see people get the shit beat out of him.
Kenny won his first MTV thing and he actually got some money. Guess what the first fucking thing he's buying? You would never believe it. He went out and bought a fucking actual wrestling
arena for his backyard.
I bought a ring for my backyard.
Nice. It's still up?
No. I sold it to a guy in Staten Island.
It was his best investment ever. He only lost like a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah. I bought it for $3,000. And yeah. I sold it to a guy a couple years later for like $2,700. But it was awesome. It was one of those things. It's like when I had some free time, I just wanted to get in the ring and
do some shit. Run back and forth, yeah. Hit the ropes?
Well, look how many of the WWE guys are in CrossFit, and they're like pretty big deal. They all go to like different gyms. I mean, and they have their own gyms, some of them.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to get Seth Rollins on the show.
They're savages.
Yeah.
I used to have, like, when they were all in San Diego, they would all come to my gym and train.
Yeah.
And a lot of them move very well. They're very dedicated to being in great shape.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I always can just tell by how well someone moves. Like, are you really in this thing? And they got it.
Well, I think people downplay a lot of, like, what they've done. I mean, if you look at some of the old wrestlers, a lot of them have obviously died because of steroid use and all the other shit, painkillers that they're on and stuff. But, I mean, some of those guys, like, I always use the Ultimate Warrior as, like, my big – I mean, that guy looked – unbelievable. Yeah. And the level of dedication you have to look like that, you know, comparative to like all those other guys. I mean, you're in a freak show and you're the biggest freak.
I just love that those guys create the characters.
Yeah.
It's so like no one told them to do it.
No.
That was the guy they wanted to be every night. Like, I have to turn into the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
Like, Ric Flair just wanted to be the blonde-haired, like, I'm going to sleep with everyone. It's basically what Kenny's career is modeled after.
Yeah.
It actually is.
When I look at those guys, I'm like, these guys were, like, literally lived a comic book life.
Yeah.
You know, they lived this fantasy life. But I think that's the hardest part. Like, even, I mean, I was never at that level of celebrity, but you come off a show, you know, I would do like bar appearances and different things and stuff, and you get treated like a god for a couple hours, and then you go home and you're like, wait, what the fuck do I do now?
Where do I go?
I need this.
I love that there's like an ecosystem. Like, the CrossFit athlete lives in their little bubble, and like, you live in your little bubble. Yeah. The reality TV thing has its own little bubble. The wrestlers have their bubble.
Yeah.
And it's a weird ass bubble, I bet, to be in, because you've got these weird personalities. You got weird people, and they're burning it on both ends. Like, they're traveling. They're not finishing the show and just going home at night. What's the point of being a wrestler?
Yeah.
They're out. They're getting after it.
I would always talk about this with The Miz, because he was on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's crushing it now.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Yeah.
He's making movies. He's got his own show. I mean, the guy's loaded.
He kind of stole your shtick with the Mr. Beautiful, dude.
No, I mean, he was doing it before I was
in. He was doing that shit on the show, though.
Yeah. So we were talking. I was like, dude, what's better, the reality TV audience, which is like basically young, hot girls, like college girls watch MTV, or the wrestling world? He goes, by far, the MTV world. Because he goes, have you ever looked at the stands? He goes, it's either little kids or fat, creepy old dudes.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Man, that's a wild, wild thing. The wrestling world is interesting, because I like watching those guys lift weights, though. They're literally the biggest, largest human beings, and then they try and create the personality to match this body that they were given.
Yeah.
Now some of them are finally getting paid, too. I mean, you know, look at that sport's evolving. It's interesting you look at that, or UFC, or even CrossFit. Like, now the top guys, I mean, look at The Rock, came out of this, you know, obscure little sport with this following, and now is a mega celebrity.
Yeah,
I mean,
the
guy's
going to
be a billionaire if he's not already.
Ever.
How many Instagram followers is that now?
I don't know. He's had, like, over 100 million.
Insane.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But, like, think about it. He was a nobody. You know,
he was like
when,
third string behind Warren Sapp.
Yeah. Warren Sapp took his spot or say. He never even made it to an NFL team.
No.
And now he's the biggest celebrity, male celebrity ever.
Yeah. I love when Brett Contreras posts his videos, hip thrusters. It's like 1,000 pounds, whatever the hell he's doing. But those guys are grinders, too, in the gym.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
It's weird. It's a weird lifestyle because they're on the road so much. But the other thing, and like, I hope the CrossFitters like learn this stuff. Like, watching these guys' careers, I hope all athletes do it. Like, there's got to be a thing after you're done with the athlete thing.
Yep.
Like, you can't be a wrestler when you're 55 years old. Like, you see the guys that have been in it for a while and they have to get out because your body's going to break.
Yeah.
You're going to die. You can't keep doing it. And the ones that have been able to like move past that.
What do you think all the Tom Brady shit, you know, to be pliable and, you know, he's 40-something years old, right? And he's still he's on this, like,
vegan
diet. And, you know, he's playing better now than he was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So like,
the actual training,
like his training, so like mentality.
I don't follow that at all. Like, what all is he doing?
So he just talks about how he's a vegan, how he like gets a certain amount of sleep, and he does.
It's all mobility. He doesn't do heavy.
He doesn't do any heavy lifting.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a lot of it is, very unorthodox compared to what everybody else is doing.
Yeah. Right.
Like he doesn't lift weights at all, I don't think.
Name another top athlete at top of their game in
at
their
40-something.
Yeah, it's like
doesn't. So is he onto some, or is he just a freak?
I'd imagine getting the training that it takes to get somewhere.
Yeah.
Can very well be different than the training that it takes to just maintain and maximize longevity. Like if he's already at the top of the sport and his whole game, and this is very true for strength conditioning professionals for Major League Baseball or hockey or football, whatever it is, like the strength conditioning coach's job is to keep the best players playing. It's not to make them bigger, stronger, faster necessarily. It's to keep the Ferraris on the track.
Yeah.
That way they can get the maximum benefit of spending millions of dollars to buy this guy's contracts to keep them on the field. So I think in Brady's situation, he's just trying to stay injury-free for as long as possible because he's already at the top of his game to extend his career. Whether he lifts weights and what is he going to put 20 pounds on his bench press, is that really going to make him a better quarterback? Like, probably fucking not.
Yeah.
He just wants to be able to be on the field every game.
I bet you could deadlift like 225, maybe a couple sets of 10, like every 3 days, and stay in pretty good shape just because your savings account of fitness is pretty high. He's just got to maintain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Like, people always say, like, don't do what someone's doing, like, once they're a champion. Do the things that they did to get to where they're
leading
a champion.
Up to,
I think the biggest problem, though, is he wrote that, like, TB12 book with the guy that's selling the product. And it's like there's a message going out, but you're not – the majority of the people, and for no reason or no fault of their own, they just don't understand that that guy's selling you a fitness program the same way that we talk about fitness and we want you to buy the program vault. Like, they're great programs. Go do it. But – he's doing a great program that will make people significantly healthier. And then you get a bunch of strength and conditioning coaches like, that's not right. That's not right. Well, it is right for him.
Right.
Yeah. And a whole bunch of people that are sitting on their ass not doing anything and want to learn about fitness from Tom Brady. He's
it's
probably
like
doing
do,
a lot of good in the world.
If you do anything consistently enough, it will have results. You're not going to be the same 12 months from now or 5 years from now. It's like anything is better than nothing, too.
Yeah. For sure, yeah.
I mean, what does LeBron's training look like? I know he built, like, in his house the exact same training facility that they have or had in Cleveland. But
he only uses shake-a-weight.
I love that. So,
no, he loves the Versa climber.
He spends a million dollars a year. Laird's got one of those right outside his pool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That thing will show up here one day.
Oh, I'm surprised they didn't have it this year.
Nasty.
Yeah.
You ever been on one of those?
Oh, yeah. They're big in the MMA world.
Are they?
I have no idea why they haven't infuse themselves into the CrossFit world. Like, if rowers are popular and aerodynamics are popular and even pushing prowlers are popular, anything that's like concentric only where you have very, very few stability demands and you can fucking metabolically just burn yourself into the fucking ground, like, Versa climbers are that tool.
Yeah.
And they're not that expensive. I have no idea why more gyms don't have them. No,
I think they are pretty, because I looked at them for my gym. I wanted to get like two or three of them for my gym. If you get the nicer ones, they're like $3,000-$4,000 a piece.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Someone's got to figure that out.
Somebody's got to make a cheaper one. I think there is a cheaper
mountain
one.
Climber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but if you're a real gym, if you're CrossFit New England or Invictus or whatever, like spending $3,000 on a piece of machinery that could generally benefit your athletes, like that's not that big of an investment.
No.
Not for a business.
Yeah. And you don't need a
what
for
he's saying is you're
classes.
A cheap fucker, kid.
Yeah, you're cheap.
Yeah.
Well,
get on it.
I don't just buy one.
Do you guys
I have
even
to buy
have
five.
Nice stuff at your gym?
We have zero nice shit.
Your cleaning budget.
You don't do nice.
Just back it down a day. Buy a couple Versa climbers.
Where do you guys run, by the way? Do you guys just run on the streets?
Run on the street.
In New York?
So I just had the guys from True Form come in. Work with Techno Gym as well, but they're treadmills. I have one of them. Mm. They're $10,000 a piece.
Jesus.
Yeah, so,
damn.
Yeah.
Damn, damn.
So I was talking to guys from True Form, and they were like, hey, listen, but those are $5,000 a piece. And I run classic.
$5,000 and no motor.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And then – so we just have them run laps. I mean, we're better off than some of the other CrossFit gyms in the city because we're on 32nd and Park Avenue, which gets busy, but not as busy as like 37th and 7th Avenue.
Yeah.
Right? We're not like as close to some of the other stuff. So one gym's right next to Grand Central. Another gym's right next to Penn Station. Mm. We're next to Penn Station, but like six blocks up. So we have a little bit more freedom. Madison Avenue's a little bit clearer. So we just have them do laps around the block. I mean, the average city block is in and around 400 meters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
how long have you been in New York your whole life?
No, I moved to New York when I was like 26. So almost like 10 years. Jersey.
Oh, that's the same shit.
Yeah, it's the same. That's why everybody's like, I'm like, yeah, it's the same shit. Yeah. I literally live
that's
close.
Not, that's not an upgrade?
Yeah.
It is a little bit. Yeah. You know what? I'll tell you what. Everybody always shits on New Jersey. I'm like, I've been to parts of California, complete shithole. I've been to parts of Florida. Most of, 90% of Florida, aside from like Cocoa Beach or some shit, is a dump. The panhandle is a shithole.
Terrible.
Shithole.
The middle is a disaster.
Oh, somebody yesterday was like, oh, you should come down to Tampa. For fucking what?
No, come to Tampa. We'll go to Tampa. We'll show you a good time in Tampa.
Yeah. Every week I hear somebody's in Tampa we need to go hang out with.
I'm actually so genuinely excited to go to Tampa.
Really?
Tampa's got a lot of people. Christmas is there. Ben Pekulski. If you don't know who that is.
Oh, Ben.
You should totally do that. Mm-hmm.
Cena's there.
Cena. Mm-hmm. We can go train with Cena.
Really?
Yeah.
Tony Robbins. Go hang out with Tony.
Yeah. Cena's gym's rad.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Isn't it like a private gym?
My name's on it.
Really?
On the wall. One Ton Club.
No
Six
shit.
Lifts, nice. 2,000 pounds.
You used to train with Cena for years.
They're, no kidding.
They're buddies.
I didn't name drop that until we actually talked about his thing.
Oh, my God.
With all the wrestling talk.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go down there just for that.
I love the wrestling talk. 2,000 pounds, six lifts. You go squat, clean, squat, back squat, deadlift, super total.
That's
jerk,
awesome.
Jerk, snatch, clean, squat, dead, bench, 2,000 pounds. I hit 2009. In 48 hours.
A jerk instead of a strict press.
Get it overhead.
once I heard about that, I added up all my bests, and I had 1,999.
No.
I was like, fuck my life.
I should have just went back and did one more lift.
That's right.
It's like, one more pound.
Had I known, I could have added a half-pound plate to each side of one of those.
When we go, we're going to do some shows. I'm on board.
Wait, so
make it happen.
You're in San Diego, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to. Let me know when you're down there. I'll come down.
Yeah,
for sure.
We'll come to San Diego.
Well, he lives there.
Come range there.
He's always there.
No, he was talking about Tampa.
Let's go to Tampa.
Yeah. Tampa.
So he lives in both places, and we train when he's out in San Diego. I don't, not so much anymore, but when I was training hard and able to lift with that monster.
I mean, there were so many times when I see a wrestler out in the wild on the street, I'm like, do you think he'd be offended if I went up and tried to clothesline him? Or is he going to take my fucking head off?
I think the thing about being a wrestler, you can't hide. It's like being an NFL player.
Yeah.
Like, you can't hide. Like, the majority of famous people can tuck the hat down. No one's going to give a shit. You walk into Whole Foods, whatever. When you're that size and you're that shredded.
Yeah. What is he, 265, something like that?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Fucking monster.
Yeah. That's a big boy.
Sausages. Fingers is like, what the fuck?
His hand, his like wrists are real thick.
Yeah. The whole thing. It's really crazy. Any back squats? 600.
It's hard to hide as a CrossFitter, too, because they're all midgets. So, there's that little 5'3 jack dude.
He's got to be either a wrestler or a CrossFitter.
It is interesting that they have found, the sport has selected enough people play it now that they know exactly what you're supposed to look like.
Right.
And it just happens to be Matt Frazier.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they got these little arms, but long enough so that the deadlift doesn't kill you. Like, it looks exactly like him. They all, if you lined them all up, it would be like a straight line across, 195 to 205.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, they look so big. Like, somebody the other day at my gym was like, oh, isn't like Brooke Wells huge? I was like, no, she's tiny.
I thought Brooke Entz would be huge because she's like a very built, strong girl. Yeah. She's pretty normal.
Not that big.
Yeah.
She looks fairly petite, actually, even though she's jacked. Like, she's got that good proportion.
Yeah, she's lean.
Most of the time, they look very normal until you get them working out, and they get all pumped up, and then they're like,
Brooks
must be huge. And they're like, no, they're normal. They just got the super pump.
Brooks actually likes to party, too. She's fun.
She coming tonight?
I don't know.
Both of them, actually.
Yeah.
Both of them. Yeah, I mean, we were hanging out with them at Wadapalooza. Yeah.
Dude, how in the world, the next year when Dave Castro does his little Dave Castro moment and announces the winner in the center, the Fit Aid party needs to be a part of that. Like, you're 2019 CrossFit Games champion.
Dun, dun, dun.
And a free invite to the Fit Aid after party.
They're supposed to plug us today. Actually.
Matt Frazier turns it down. He's like, I can't. I have to go row. I have to start for next year.
Matt's been to one of our parties. He came to the open party.
Really?
It's interesting what athletes show up sometimes. Like, we get a lot of athletes on other people's teams that show up. Like, oh, hey. They're like,
I was the most impressed this year when we did the after party at 11. We were at 11 in Miami. And me and him are standing on this booth, and it's, you know.
We had 200 A-tier CrossFitters of all the big names
easily,
partying their
some of the biggest names in CrossFit were all just standing around. I'm like, this is weird.
In the strip club.
I was like, I didn't
For those
think
that don't know, 11 is a strip club by day and a dance club by night that's still kind of a strip club.
Yeah, they're still naked girls walking.
That's like a strip club at nighttime?
That's usually when they make all their money. Imagine being a stripper, you're like, it's 10 o'clock, you got to go home.
Well, they don't go home. They just open it up so other people can dance as well. And we had the A tier of CrossFit coming through, the lasers and, like, you know, the big pole in the middle. And it was a super classy joint.
It was
fun. It's the best club.
Yeah, it is Miami.
But it was really cool to see everyone cut loose. Like, okay. Things are getting a little less conservative around here. We got a CBD company with a line out the door at the CrossFit Games now, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, CBD is not evil. It's not going to kill you. Actually, it can help you. And they're very curious about it.
That's
I've seen
are,
several yeah. vape pens and
CBD's
gummies
cool.
floating around
it's
here.
It's even cooler when you get high.
That's my
It's better when it's mixed with THC. Yeah.
It's like, me. Let's get high, but take out the cool shit.
That's my argument with some of the HGH stuff. Like, you see how it helps? Yeah. I mean, there's so many guys in Hollywood. There's no way Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise look like they're 25 at 55.
100%.
So 100%. Everybody's like, oh, it's evil. It's bad. It's this. It's that. All the people pointing their fingers are the same people who are taking it.
Well, if you want to work as much as it takes to do that, you better be on some juice. You better have something more than coffee.
Dude, I would love to see Tom Cruise's whole protocol. Yeah. He looks the exact fucking same as he looked like when he was in Top Gun. He has not changed in like 30 years. Yeah.
There's not a wrinkle in his fucking head. I'm watching that new one, American. He was just in a new movie last year. It was awesome. It was a really good movie. Mm. But I'm like, I can't tell the difference between now and 30 years before.
He's got a protocol with Scientology that's just out of this world.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want me to stay at level 50 Scientology, I'm going to need two 23-year-olds here at 8 a.m. tomorrow. There's no way it's not starting off real fresh every morning.
Oh, for sure.
Fresh socks and a 23-year-old blonde. Where are they at?
You can only imagine what weird shit he's got to be into to at the top of your game for that 30
long.
Years.
Yeah, he started – when was the first one? When was Risky Business?
83, 84.
So he's probably, 19, 20, 22 max?
Jersey guy.
Oh, there it is.
He's a weirdo.
He could have been good at CrossFit. He's a little miniature guy.
He is. He's a miniature. Maybe he's been tiny. Closet CrossFit.
CrossFit Scientology.
He's the head of the midgets. All midgets follow me.
I bet they got some bumper plates in that Scientology place in L.A.
I would love
up
to see
up in the hills
that.
There, yeah.
One of my old roommate has gone through that building. He ran an art studio, and apparently the Scientologists own this chain of art studios, and he was running of them. So he had to go through the protocol, and he started going no, I don't agree with that. Like, they're pushing stuff on. And then apparently there's levels, and then they take you down to a lower level, and they have these interventions, and they take you to another level. And finally, if you say no through the whole thing, they fucking kick you out the back door in some alley. It's, like, trippy. There's a whole ascension-descension model. It's, like, full mind control shit.
It's something out of a fucking movie. It's so Hollywood. It's, like, doesn't make any sense.
There's never, sometimes you, pop on Facebook. You know how they're, tracking everything you do through Facebook so they can advertise. And sometimes you'll pop up, and they'll be, like, the second thing in my feed will be, a Scientology ad. And I'm, like, what website did I go to?
Right.
What did I look at that they're tracking me, that they think this is right?
You're a good candidate.
I know.
Maybe they've just heard the podcast. Yeah. They're like, oh, we got
you
this
You do
guy.
CrossFit. You'll buy it.
He's kind of culty.
Yeah. I don't know how they figured out that I would like this, but I'll click. You'll be like Tom Cruise. Sweet, dude. Well, this has been a phenomenal weekend. This is my first year hanging out with you guys. I appreciate all this. I am stoked for tonight. Thanks for welcoming me in. Thanks for trading Bledsoe for me.
You have a very nice voice. It's Bledsoe-esque. Like, if I close my eyes and picture you with the beard, you're just as cute as he is.
Just without the costume.
You
don't own a banana hammock?
I don't. Well,
Michael loaned you a couple.
Yeah, he's just borrow it.
Sequence.
I think he left it here last year.
We could do another 20 minutes just on Mike.
Oh, jeez.
Where can people find you? All that fun stuff.
LifeAidBevCo.com is, website's always a great spot. Our social channels, we have individual social channels for all our different SKUs. Our biggest is at FitAid. And then me is always my name on all handles, Aaron Hinde, H-I-N-D-E.
Mr.
Kenny.
Beautiful. The YouTube show. FitAid.
Today Morning Show. Check us out on YouTube. Yeah. There's a lot of good content on there. There's we've done some good content.
We've had some awesome guests on the show.
Do you guys do morning shows throughout the year, or is it just at the events?
It's just Wadapalooza
in here. We've done some other fun stuff,
too. Why aren't we doing this more often?
I would like to.
Well, you have your moment right now. You got to put him on the spot in front of all the people.
I mean, we've talked about it a bunch. He's like, you know, I'll just send some stuff to Solace, and I could just kind of post up there.
It'd be nice if that place looked good, too. You got, you know, there's that big
wall. Do it right
wall.
In the window, right on Park Avenue, buddy. Yeah. It'll be nice.
But I've been there, buddy. I've worked out there.
Am I allowed to ask what rent is on Park Avenue? Just how many six digits?
It's over 40,000.
Really. Is it really?
Yeah.
Holy
It's over 40,000.
Shit. That was way more aggressive than
more than
I
thought it was
going to
be.
Well, so many people are like, what's your rent, $20,000? I go, if it was $20,000, I'd be fucking laughing my ass.
Holy
Jesus.
Yeah. Why?
You could start a CrossFit gym for $40,000 for more parts of the country.
That's more money than I spend on my fine.
And that's just a rent every month.
I see some of these gyms out here, and I'm like, you got four barbells, three kettlebells, one GHC. I go, everything I have, I need. All right, I need 10 of this, 15 of this, 20 of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? So even the equipment is just astronomical.
If he would have bought a piece of real estate and said that stupid wrestling mat, he'd be in good shape.
I bet even shipping stuff in is a total pain in the ass. Are you guys on the ground floor?
Ground floor.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
shipping stuff in has got to be a pain in the ass, too. Just dropping all that in the middle of a friggin'
massive, of Manhattan. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
My buddy runs a jiu-jitsu gym in Memphis in a warehouse. He pays $400 a month.
Crazy.
$400.
So that's what a fit aid cost in Kenny's gym. $400.
What's $400 per fit aid? We got to keep the lights on.
We're down the street from Henzo Gracie's, and Henzo Gracie has the top floor, and he's got the ground floor. I couldn't imagine what he pays because he's got some.
A view while you're getting choked out.
Yeah. He's got a cage right in the window. It's sick.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's dope.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you, bro?
At Kenny Santucci and on the YouTube page. And if you're ever in New York, Solace, New York, come on by.
Dude, we got to go to New York.
We totally
do. We
got
people now that we can hang out with.
Yeah.
We got East Coast. We can handle the West Coast. You got the middle.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle.
We are in the
This is the middle.
We're in the middle.
We are as middle as middle gets.
The middle surrounded is by pretty corn. Rad, though. I thought the middle gets hated on a lot. Just like a lot of nice people, though. It's like the
Good
nice people.
People
get hated on.
Good people.
Yeah.
100%.
Doug Larson.
Dig it. You can find me on Instagram, Douglas E. Larson. Also got a fun passion project, DougLarsonFitness.com. Got a bunch of cool online education courses, mostly movement and nutrition related on there. Of course, everything's Shrug Collected. Barber Shrugs on Wednesdays, and I have Technique Wads posting every Sunday.
Yeah, you should do that. I saw the website. Pretty sweet.
Looks dope, huh?
It's good work.
Yeah.
And you should definitely go check all that stuff out. I sit here and talk and make jokes and do all that fun stuff. Anytime something gets weird, if you didn't hear it earlier, I just look at him and I'm like, come on, dude. Fill it in with real information. Fill it in with real stuff.
We can only bullshit so much.
I'm out of one-liners. There's got to be some content here. But that's all the stuff that's going up. Really, really good stuff. I'm stoked for your launch. It's going to be sweet.
Thanks, dude.
Doug Larson Fitness.
That's it.
.com.
That's it.
You can find me at Anders Varner. Really just get into Shrug Collective. All the things. Daily podcasts, YouTube shows. Talking to Kenny Santucci. He's going to tell us the top 8 moments from reality TV. Documented, which is a 10-minute show on his best stories. What happens behind closed doors on the real world.
Nothing good.
Zero fitness-related material coming out of him. No, that's not true. That show's not coming. Christmas Habits coming up. We got an 8-show season with her. Barbell Shrugged on Wednesdays. Get into the Shrug Collective on all the things. And we'll see you guys on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Peace.